Bible believe, Bible scholars also teach us that this way to those who believe, the preciousness actually is called, is the honor. That means in the first part, Peter tells it, to you who believe, to you the believers, the believing in Christ is your honor. It is actually your privilege to believe in Christ. It is not the Lord's privilege that you believe in Him. This is easy to understand. But then I said, what about the second part? But to the unbelievers, he's become the head of the corner. Okay, so actually, Paul means that. So actually, Paul gave us a window as what he meant by this. Because the cornerstone or the head of the corner, cornerstone in the old days, is a marker.
Right.
It's a marker in which the building has to begin. Because those days they don't have such instruments. The marker whereby you mark your right angle, okay, in a building. If you don't have a marker, you don't know, you know, you have no way of marking your right angle. So in the cornerstone, Brother James Benson had this term. He's the orthogonal stone. Orthogonal means the right angles. Okay, the marker for right angles is a mathematical term. O-R-T-H-O-G-O-N-A-L. Orthogonal, not octagonal. Orthogonal. So he's the marker of the right angle. Now, if you look at Ephesians chapter 2, Paul mentions this. Okay. Too bad we didn't read Ephesians chapter 2 because we started with 21, but actually verse. But 2 verse 20, he says, okay, he says, that is, okay, from 19, he says, you are no longer strangers and soldiers, but you are fellow citizens. That means the Jews and the Gentiles are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets.
Amen.
This shows us this one thing. Actually, I like to bring this to our context. We're in New York City, and it's not an accident that the headquarters of the United Nations is in New York City. But actually, the United Nations is a picture of nations disunited, ununited, or disarrayed. But, you see, for us, that is the reason why for us, it is so important in the church. Our testimony of oneness among all our ethnic groups together is really a testimony and a real eye-opening to any unbeliever who comes. churches are the most black people. The white churches mostly white. The Chinese churches are mostly Chinese. That is wonderful. That is for the preaching of the gospel. But they don't have the privilege of displaying Christ as the cornerstone. Much more, we have a special privilege.
Amen.
In New York, to display this testimony of Christ as our cornerstone.
Amen.
He's the one that joins us together.
Amen.
He's the one that is the basis of our oneness.
Amen.
This, I believe, we must guard jealously.
Amen.
To all of us, we must guard jealously.
Amen.
That the oneness between the saints should never at all cost be broken.
Amen.
You see, I mentioned this. I like to bring this up last during the December the 31st in our New Year's ushering into the New Year. You know, we had a slideshow, and I heard after that some saints were not so happy that the only translations in English and Chinese. How come there are no Spanish? I'd like to bring this. I'm sure the brothers will agree with me. First of all, it is not our intention to break up anything, because I heard some Spanish-speaking saints also were not very happy. So how come the Spanish are not here? We're not, right? Are we tongue change? It is not that. But I would say this. I'll apologize for the brothers. But sometimes, because of practical reasons, it's just not possible to put every language together. We're still in the state of fall, okay? That language still is much of a barrier to life. However, it is not our intention. It's not our intention to separate out or to single out to put aside anybody, any ethnic group, any group of saints. But I believe in anything that we do, we must always have this in view. That if there's anything, we should go the extra mile to maintain our
oneness.
Amen. Amen.
This is what the Lord will bless us with.
Amen.
So I just appreciate very much. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. It's not really for us, because sure, the Lord is our cornerstone. We take it for granted. The Lord is the basis of our oneness. But our testimony of our oneness, of Christ as our cornerstone, is given to us, especially in New York City, a special privilege for us to display this and to testify this, that Christ is our cornerstone.
Amen.
So for this, we must guard jealously our oneness.
Amen.
We must at all costs be in one accord.
Amen.
So that the Lord can continue to bless us, that we can really be his testimony.
Amen.
As the Church in New York City.
Amen.
As the testimony of him as the cornerstone.
Amen.
This, I believe, is very, very difficult for many other localities, many other congregations, to testify this. But to us here, it is a real unique opportunity for us.
Amen.
For a special privilege for us to uphold this.
Amen.
And to trumpet that Christ is our cornerstone.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, Christ is our stone savior.
Amen.
Now, this is not an easy thing to say or understand. I think if we ask the saints, tell us about Christ being the shepherd savior, or the lamb savior, or even the God-man savior, we all could say something. But to relate to Christ, our savior, as the stone is not so easy. And I appreciate that our brothers gave us some, you may call them tips, or examples of how we experience Christ as our stone savior. And this is important because the Bible calls him the stone. And even, I don't know, I was thinking this morning, how many verses are in the Old Testament that are quoted by both the Lord Jesus in his earthly ministry and then by the apostles in Christ's heavenly ministry? I don't know how many there are. Maybe Brother Paul Onika can tell us. But this is one of them. Psalm 118, where the psalmist says, "The stone which the builders rejected, this has become the head of the corner."
Amen.
The Lord Jesus spoke it, regarding himself, because the Pharisees were rejecting him. And then Peter spoke it, of course, once in Acts and again in his first epistle. But I'd just like to mention another practical application is that when Peter spoke it in 1 Peter, he added a word. Mm-hmm. He said, Christ is a living stone. Mm-hmm. And this word living implies transformation. As the brothers mentioned, we in Adam are made as vessels of clay. But in the New Jerusalem, in God's goal of his purpose, there is no clay. So what happened to the clay? The clay had to be transformed. If you read in the Old Testament, there are many other counterfeit cities that are built. And even the children of Israel, when they were slaves in Egypt, they helped build those cities. They were built of clay. Amen. What does that mean? That means we can do a lot of things with our natural concept. We can build with our natural concept. We can serve with our natural concept. But the goal of that serving, that building, will not be in the New Jerusalem. So we need to be transformed. Amen. And the way we are transformed is by beholding the Lord. Amen. And receiving the Spirit.
Amen.
When we spend our time beholding the Lord, turning our hearts to the Lord, and enjoying the Lord as the Spirit of life,
Amen.
The living stone, he takes our clay and transforms it into stone.
Amen.
Yes, there is heat. Yes, there's pressure. And there's also mineral-enriched water
Amen.
To transform us into the precious stone
Amen.
For God's building. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
This man of clay is being made a living stone.
Amen.
You know, but to go through that process, a stone, clay to become stone requires intense heat,
Amen.
Right? Those of you that know about pottery know that that clay, you can mold it in any way. But to get to that stone requires what? Intense heat. So praise the Lord for our intense heat environments, our intense heat circumstances,
Amen.
Because they are there to make us living stones. You know, I just enjoyed this week, this matter of this propagating Christ as the stone savior.
Amen.
This is something new I've never heard before. Stone savior, what is this? I heard of him as my redeemer, my savior, right? My everything. But stone savior? My wife likes to call me rock-headed. Now I can say to her, praise the Lord, Jesus Christ as my stone savior is occupying my mind. So let me enjoy my rock-headedness in Christ. You know, the topic of this week is propagating the resurrected, ascended, and all-inclusive Christ. Doesn't say speak about him. It says propagate him. That word propagate means reproduce him. The only way we can reproduce something is that if we are that something, right? Can I propagate a cat? Do I have the cat DNA or the cat genes in me? I can propagate a cat, but if that resurrected, ascended, and all-inclusive Christ is constituted in me, I can propagate this one. So how much we need to spend time before the Lord to have this resurrected, ascended, and all-inclusive Christ constituted into our being.
Amen.
In this way, we can propagate this one.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, saints.
Amen.
You know, I was just also, before I close, you know, we can hear about Christ being the top stone, the foundation stone, the cornerstone. And then we get in there and we're studying what is cornerstone, what is top stone, blah, 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 blah. The corporate reading on Thursday said, we need to receive the Lord's word as food with an attitude of eating and drinking God.
Amen.
Not studying, but eating and drinking.
Amen.
May we all spend more time eating and drinking Christ,
Amen.
That he can constitute us with his stone nature.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for my rock-headedness in Christ.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's on, right? I just wanted to read something about the context of the cornerstone in Ephesians. You know, I think the context is important, and it sheds some light on the application or the meaning of the cornerstone, right? So this is like starting from Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have become near in the blood of Christ. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Once far off, near in the blood of Christ.
Amen.
So, I think this, as the brothers mentioned, you know, our salvation is to bring us near in the blood of Christ,
mm-hmm.
To bring us near to God and also near to one another. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one. You know, let me go back a little bit before. I'm sorry. You know, he says, therefore remember that once you, the Gentiles in the flesh, those who were called uncircumcision, that at that time you were apart from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have become near in the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition. You know, I think Steve mentioned that the Jews and the Gentiles are orthogonal, but I don't think that's right, Steve. Brother Steve, you know, orthogonal means they go this way, right? I think the Jews and the Gentiles would never come together. They're parallel, right? I mean, in a sense, we would never be one, you know? I mean, we would never be one with one another apart from Christ, you know? I mean, I think the proof that we've been born again is, you know, by this we know we've passed out of death into life because we love the brothers.
Right.
You know, I never even knew any, I never thought about Christians before I was saved. And then spontaneously I had a love for other Christians, you know. So what can bring something parallel together is Christ himself. Amen. So, you know, in relation to the cornerstone, it mentions the one new man, abolishing in his flesh the commandments of the ordinances, that he might create the two in himself into one new man, making peace, mm-hmm. and might reconcile both in one body. Mm-hmm. So, you know, with the cornerstone, there is the concept or the word about the one new man. There is the word about the body of Christ, you know. And might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross, slaying the enmity by it. And coming, he announced peace as the gospel to you who are far off and peace to those who are near. For through him, we both have access in one spirit unto the Father. Therefore, you are no longer strangers and sojourners, but fellow citizens with the saints and Amen. Members of the house of God, mm-hmm. being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, Amen. In whom all the building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord,
Amen.
In whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Lord Jesus, praise the Lord. I enjoyed something in particular Brother Frank mentioned, and I just want to repeat it. Nothing of you can be a part of the building of God. I think a way to really let that sink in is we're nothing good but for death and burial. Just to put us in the proper frame of mind, we need Christ because anything we do comes from this self, which comes from Satan. So we have to be headed up. There's absolutely nothing good can come from us. Okay, with that said, I want to give a practical example that, which also brings in that hymn. Okay. the sisters, in particular, I'll say the wives, are very, I just use my mom as an example. The service of submitting, when I don't know how many times my mom asks, I don't want to make a choice. Choose what kind of meat you want for dinner for her to fix. And, you know, I know she's happiest when she serves what I want. But that's not of Christ. But it keeps the peace, but it's not of Christ. So what I used to do is I'd say, if it's something I know that she wants, I would use Ephesians 5:20-21, being subject to one another. And I'd leave off the fear of Christ. I didn't know what that was. But I would say, okay, what do you want, Mom? And I'd instead of what I want, I would choose. I'd trick her, in a sense. She said, you want this or that? She knows I like this, so I'd say, I want that. And then the Lord showed me that that's not taking anything of him either. It's not. So in the fear of Christ, in the fear of not wanting to offend him, saints, I don't know what I can say to emphasize this, but to hear from Christ or to be enlightened by Christ in the word, how else are we going to get something new? The self, there's the people we deal with, it's their self, it's our self. But when I turn to the Lord and he tells me a third thing that Mom didn't mention, and I'll go to the store and buy that, I've taken some of Christ, and I'm one with him in that. And one other aspect, and then I'm going to sit down. So many times, and I'm not a married, as you know, but a husband and wife can disagree on something. It's not a matter of just submitting to what the wife wants or the husband wants, but the ideal thing, well, there's two aspects to this. Is one, get from Christ what he wants you to do. Then you have something of Christ and can be one with him. But the ideal thing, and this happens, I've read it in the ministry, it happens a lot. If both just go to the Lord and see what the Lord wants, it's not going to be an A, B, or a C. It's going to be a D that the Lord wants. It won't be anything that came out of the wife or the husband. The ideal thing is to go to the Lord. Well, what does the Lord want me and you to do, us to do? Go to the Lord, wife. Go to the Lord, husband, and it probably won't be either one of the two. That way, you know it's of the Lord.
Amen. Lord Jesus, praise the Lord. I'm really, really so happy that the Lord can unveil. For me, the very first time I can appreciate the Lord to be the stone Savior. Praise the Lord. This morning when we see that what a wonderful Savior we have, Lord Jesus. And then the Lord really unveiled to me how dearly and how lovely he is, a stone Savior to me. Oh, Lord Jesus, because even we know in the entire Bible, we know, we always mention that entire Bible, there is the line of life. And then we also know the entire Bible, there is the line of building. But praise the Lord, hallelujah, in the Bible, there is also the line of the stone. Concerning from even from Genesis 2 all the way to Revelation 22. Oh, thank you, Lord, that we really need to ask the Lord for myself to really remove, to take away all the veil so I can really see and really appreciate that my dear Lord Jesus is the stone Savior to me. And concerning he is the stone Savior, oh, thank you, Lord. He is so solid. He is so strong, and he is so reliable. So by all, and our brother already mentioned that, by all coming to him to touch in the word of this, as the living and abiding word of God, we'll be able to really experience he is so solid, he's so strong, and he's so reliable. Even in the meantime, he's making us more in his nature as the nature of stone, making us even a little bit more solid, a little bit more strong, and even more reliable, just like he is, for the purpose of the God building. And I really appreciate that. Oh, Lord Jesus. Actually, this stone Savior is such a living person for us, for our enjoyment, and even for our experiencing of him. So when we talk about this stone Savior, dear brother and sister, this morning I see many of you. I see many beautiful stones, living stones, even precious stones. Oh, Lord Jesus, this is truly what we really are. And Lord Jesus, by our come back, but that's the way we need to cooperate with the Lord. Is we need to come back to His living and abiding word. That's where we can receive all His stone nature to be dissolved into us. So all the aspect concerning He is all inclusive stone will become so subjective. So it's the answer to us. From the first day when we were saved, we experienced right away He is a foundation stone. And continuing by our enjoyment and come to Him, we can experience that He is the living stone. And by come to Him, we also become the living stone. And then during the progress of the transformation, we become to experience He is the cornerstone, making us fitable to join to other stone. So we are now a pile of stone, but we are the stone built up together to one another, to be the spiritual heart, even into a body of priesthood. Oh, Lord Jesus. And this is what I really enjoy is also, by seeing this, it will be our glorious destiny. That we not only become a stone man, we'll become, in the future, on the progress, we'll become an arm of stone. And eventually, we'll become a city of stone. This is our destiny, and this will be our destination.
Thank you, Lord, for being our cornerstone.
Amen.
That it's not impossible for you, that all humanity, you can join us together.
Amen.
It's a cornerstone. It's not a stone between the blocks. It's a cornerstone. Corner, there is angle. So if he is considered a cornerstone in the angle, because as we can see in the construction, the hollow blocks or the strong corner or the strong stones are being closed like that. It is a cornerstone design. So it will be clapped like that, so we can be beltly, strongly joined together. The unbelievers and the believers can be it is very possible. So it is our burden now that we can also propagate, how to propagate to the others, because especially that we are humanity are of different races, different religions. We here in our recovery church, you are very inspired to do that because you are already into it. And we have been doing this. So the burden now is, what about those unbelievers? But it is possible with Jesus Christ, because He is our cornerstone. That it is very possible that we can join together strongly, because He is our Lord. He is our Savior stone. He is our everything. So thank you, Lord, for being a cornerstone, not only to us, the believers, but also to unbelievers. And we are very inspired to do this, and we are burdened only on how to propagate, on how to do that we can share to them because of our differences in our religions and races. So thank you, Lord. You are our everything, Lord, so everything in you is possible, that we will be someday joined strongly with you, Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord for Stone Savior. Amen. Thank you, our Lord is not only make us save, but also he has a desire to build us together. And this week, when we were talking about how difficult it is building, I mean, the to share, I was thinking about the simple, not the simple, the way is the Lord is a living stone, and He's make us living stone too. And then, but the difference with the stone and the pebble is, the pebble is little, and the stone is big, right? So, and I was very touched when we were in the class talking about the pebble is easily to be kicked off. And then, but we need to build together as the spiritual house. And this spiritual house is not only for us to be there, but mainly it's God's house, right? So for the God to live inside there. So we need to be living by taking Christ. Like the brother says, nothing nature can build God's house. In current present time, most of the people, they build a house by brick, right? But brick was not stone. Brick is man-made. God only wants the stone, which is made by God, to build up his spiritual house.
Praise the Lord for the stone Savior. You know, Brother Lee in the ministry talks about how this is wonderful, the stone Savior, the cornerstone. Do we praise the Lord for this? And then he said, I'm afraid that even after we shared this great message, you'll go home and praise the Lord for something else. Why? Because the cornerstone defies our natural concept. It is in resurrection that the Lord is building the church. I just want to read a couple of verses. First of all, in Isaiah chapter 28, 16, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious stone, a sure foundation. And this stone, this Zion is in the heavens, right? It's not Mount Zion in Jerusalem. It's Zion in the heavens. And Christ in his resurrection, we all appreciate. He's the firstborn son of God. Hallelujah. But he's also the cornerstone laid in Zion, this foundation. And another verse here in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14. He shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling. Not only a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a trap. Even it says a djinn in the King James and the New King James Version and in the American Standard Version. A djinn, a trap, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So this stone traps the natural man. And through the death on the cross, the natural man is taken out of the equation so that we can be in resurrection and be built together. In Ephesians chapter 2, as our brother pointed out, we see the cornerstone. And in chapter 2, verse 21, the house is being fitted together and growing. You know, the fitting is that application and experience of the cross to us, where what we are in Adam gets chipped away, right? So that we can be built together in the Lord. And I really appreciated this point. You know, we don't start off this way, but Peter speaks this in chapter 4 of Acts. And this is right on the heels of the healing of the lame man who could not walk, right? Suddenly, he leaps up, praising the Lord. And then the Jews laid hold of Peter and John. And it's this healing. He's the divine healer. And as the healer, he's building the house of God. He is the cornerstone in resurrection for the Lord's testimony. And as our brother pointed out, I really appreciated Brother Steve sharing that, you know, in this city of so many people, right, the crossroads of continents, how could there be oneness? You know, the United Nations, as he pointed out, is the un-United Nations. And that's the best you can do until Antichrist comes. They will be united one day, but today they are ununited. We, not in resurrection, enjoying Christ, experiencing the cross, and growing, right, with the milk, and beholding and reflecting, the best we can be is assembled, I suppose. But not one building, growing together in the Lord. Eventually, the stone, at the end of this age, comes back and smites the nations. And then that stone propagates and increases and grows and becomes a mountain. This is the vision in Daniel. And ultimately, hallelujah, in the New Jerusalem, we are a city built together as a testimony. But I really appreciated our brother's point. What a mercy. We get a taste of that today. Amen. It only requires that we experience and enjoy him. That we wouldn't be stumbled for good, right? But that we would be experience the cross and enjoy resurrection and be built together as the testimony of the Lord in this city. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I think we can be dismissed.
Amen.